Welcome to a special breaking news podcast on the investigation into Dr. William Heusel at Mount Carmel West. My name is Lucas Sullivan. I'm joined here with Joanne Viviano and Mike Wagner. The three of us have been working on trying to piece together what's been going on. And today, Joanne, we got a bit of big breaking news, and your day kind of started early. Can you kind of tell people what happened?
Yeah, I met this morning with a couple executives at Mount Carmel Health who had some new news of the 35 patients who have received excessive doses of painkillers. Five of them, their conditions may have improved if they had gotten proper care. So it sort of adds a whole other layer to what's going on here. The patients had previously been described as near death. They're still being described as critically ill, but it does sort of put a different spin on what's going on.
Yeah, the three of us have talked a lot about how difficult it is to just learn, educate yourself on this medical stuff. And it sounds like it's proving difficult even for the hospital. I mean, it's been what, Joanne, a couple months now, almost two months since they broke the news to the public, and then the shift that not all of them were terminally ill and that some of them may have lived longer without what happened to them. So it just seems to be a tough hill to climb for everyone to understand medically what happened.
Yes, and Mount Carmel isn't really explaining to us what their criteria are for deciding when these doses of painkiller are excessive or when they're potentially fatal, or what criteria they use to determine that these five patients may have had a chance to live longer if other things had been done. So we're not really clear even what exactly they were looking at, but from what we can garner from what we've heard from attorneys who have filed lawsuits on behalf of families and from the Ohio Department of Health did an inspection at Mount Carmel West, as well as Mount Carmel St. Anne, which is where these patients died. And from what we can garner from that, it looks like the lowest dose of fentanyl is 400 micrograms. The highest we've seen is 2,000. And to put that in perspective, the dose that we're being told would be a normal dose is around 50. So it is pretty excessive. And I think you have heard a little bit more about what might be being looked at as far as those levels go.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of these gray areas we're trying to go into and kind of lift the curtain back a little bit. And that is the threshold of how many micrograms of fentanyl, and we use that term microgram because that's how, you know, doctors and nurses talk about it, and so we're trying to use that language. But we were trying to determine what threshold they're looking at. We found it was around the 500 mark, that's when they started to say, okay, that's an excessive dose and potentially could, you know, cause someone to die. And the other thing too was this brain dead issue.
Yeah, and in terms of the dosages, again, we're back to what the medical experts are going to say, and it's going to be difficult for any medical expert to challenge that 1,000 to 2,000 micrograms of fentanyl is not excessive. Yeah. And it's still going to not be easy to say that 500 isn't as well. And one more point about, you know, the criminal investigation is that, you know, there's now 35 cases that have been looked at, but it's highly unlikely that prosecutors are going to be trying to get indictments related to anywhere near that 35 mark. It's much more likely that it'll be a handful of cases. And the dosages, again, are likely going to play a real role in that. So they probably will look at the higher dosages that were used and what the medical conditions were and so on.
And Joanne, your point too, the other revelations this week that we've reported on besides today is that not all of the patients were terminally ill, was that Dr. Heusel may have sidestepped the protocols and procedures of the ICU and the hospital to declare someone brain dead, which is significant because, well, you can kind of talk about it too, but it's a common theme we've heard from families.
About four families, I think at this point, have said, or their lawyers have said, that Dr. Heusel told them that their loved ones were brain dead, and that was the information they used to decide to remove them from care or make certain decisions about what was going to happen. So we're kind of trying to understand exactly what that means. We're told that there is a process that needs to be gone through to do that, and that it would take some time. So in some of these cases, there was not a lot of time that went by. I was told this morning, though, by Dr. Roth, who is an executive at Trinity Health, which is Mount Carmel's parent, that the tests to determine somebody brain dead could happen in a couple hours. So, you know, there's sort of, again, you know, what one medical expert says or another is going to be a little bit hard for everyone to sort out and figure out where the line is on some of these things.
One other significant piece of news I think that's come down this week is we've heard very little from Dr. Husel. We've heard nothing from Dr. Husel himself, but we've heard very little from his attorneys. And his attorneys has told us today that, you know, Dr. Husel was not...
He didn't intend to...
He had no intent of...
Killing them
or... causing anyone's death.
Yeah.
And also, I know a big question that's been out there, we've been asked by, you know, people all over our community that know we're working on this story is, was there any role of assisted suicide or...
A mercy type situation.
Right. Was this being done for mercy? And the attorney for Dr. Husel is saying no,
right.
That there was no mercy involved in this.
Yeah, and that's the first time we've kind of heard from the Dr. Husel side of this. And as far as Dr. Husel goes, we've been told that he's still... in the area. He's been seen. I know he was captured by a TV station camera about a week or so ago getting out of his SUV. But, you know, I always get asked from people like, well, do they think he's going to leave the country or leave the area? And we don't know, but he is in the area and his attorney is now speaking for him. So it seems like this is all building toward this scenario that you guys are, that we're all kind of describing is if this does go to court, it's going to be, you know, kind of breaking down of, well, was this a medically sound action or not? And, you know, does the jury believe or who believes that this happened? So it's, that seems like what this is shaping up to be.
I think so. I think there are some standards where it is kind of clear that certain amounts are just so high that it just doesn't make sense. And it might be difficult to find medical professionals who say that it does on some of these doses. But I don't know. You know, I'm not a medical expert, but we haven't found anyone who has said that. But so it's going to be tricky. But also a question I have that hasn't been answered is he ordered these. So he kind of set this whole process in motion. But as far as the administration of these drugs, we're told that he didn't actually administer them, but may have used some of his education or convincing personality to get these nurses who did administer them to do it. So we're not hearing anything at this point about these nurses or pharmacists losing their jobs, although several have been placed on leave. So we're just kind of waiting to see how that falls out as well.
So please stay with us. We appreciate you reading and listening to this. There's going to be more to come on a daily, weekly basis for the time being. So please check back and thank you for subscribing.